Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed.
Well, I know this is going to open up a can of worms, but let's do it anyway. Is there a time when our moral outrage actually exposes our moral stupor? You'll find out next on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the Line of Fire.
I am a little perturbed today, a little grieved, a little bothered in my spirit, more convinced than ever that we have no alternative other than national spiritual awakening beginning in the church, spreading over into our society. And sometimes we get the best evidence of this when we see what we get outraged over. I'm talking about the society in general. When we see what the society gets outraged over, sometimes that exposes the moral stupor that we are in. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH to get in the conversation, 866-348-7884. Join in on Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, where there are always lively comments leading up to every show. Okay, let me explain what got me going here. There is a new show that's been getting a lot of attention on MTV. It's called Skins. And apparently, I say apparently because I haven't seen any episodes of it, just read enough about it to know what's going on. Apparently, the reason for the outrage is simply this, that it depicts sexual escapades of young people, drug use, all this kinds of stuff, drugs, alcohol, sex, making it look very hip and cool. However, it's depicting teenagers and their actual teen actors or teen reality TV stars involved in this. In other words, it's not like 20-year-olds doing this that are looking like teenagers. It's actually teenagers. Some have said, is this child pornography? And I heard this. Now, look, don't get me wrong. There should be outrage over this. People should be sounding an alarm. But what shocks me is that all the other stuff is supposedly okay. Or it's not worthy of outrage. I'm going to get into that, but I've got several different examples I want to give you. We've talked about them in past months here on The Line of Fire, where the outrage exposes the stupor, where the people getting upset, oh, this is so bad, this is so wrong, that they're the very things they're getting upset about, it exposes how hypocritical the stance is, how mired down in a moral morass we actually are. Prepare to be shocked, okay? I'm going to talk straight to you. And you can disagree with me or you can agree. You can, if you need to vent, obviously in a way not attacking people by name. But if you want to vent and you need a form in which to do it, we may take some venting calls as well, 866-34-TRUTH. And I've got some encouraging news for those that are in the greater Charlotte area as well. Okay, let me give you some examples in case you don't follow exactly what I'm talking about. There was a gal, became famous as a Playboy centerfold and then as a reality TV star, apparently with other Playboy centerfolds. And then she gets married and has a kid. Okay, and then, oh no, oh, she's all upset. Oh no, this is terrible. A sex tape surfaces. Her and some other people doing all kinds of stuff. No reason to get into more details. That's the report. If you've read the report, you know, it's a sex tape, right? Okay. So, yeah, she was like, what, 18 or something? And you know, she wasn't married yet. And, oh, no, if the sex tape gets out. Now, obviously, I don't follow this stuff in detail. And, of course, I've never seen any of it. So I'm reading the same report that you're reading, obviously. But what got my attention was that no sooner is there girl, no, this is is terrible. This is so grievous that she then appears in Playboy again, naked. As she's a mother. It's bad enough, just as a human being, just as somebody's daughter, just as a woman, that she's going to get sexualized and be an object of lust and so on and so forth and have nothing private to hide because she's exposing herself for the world to see. That's bad enough. Now she's married. Now she has a kid. I don't know if a second kid, whatever the thing is. That's fine. There's no problem. I mean, that's her artistic expression. That's fine. Oh, but a sex tape. That's terrible. I think, what has happened to our society? What has happened to our sense of morality? What has happened to our sense of right and wrong? What has happened to any sense of purity? Another example. This one occurs last week. Doctor, abortion doctor in Philadelphia. He's arrested. Grand jury indicts him on numerous accounts. You know, he's responsible for the death of a woman. He's responsible for the death of babies. They were late-term abortions. The way he would do it, the baby would be born. Then with scissors, he'd kill the baby, slice the spinal cord, whatever it was. And so there's outrage over this. Terrible. In fact, Joey, go ahead and play the clip. This was a CNN news report, and they're talking about, first, there's a description about how the conditions in the abortion clinic were horrible. It was squalid. It was filthy. As if it was clean, it would be okay. Fine to murder babies if it's a clean environment, but, you know, when it's squalid, it's all the worse. So listen to this interchange. And when specific mention is made of what was found in the clinics, I want you to hear the reaction of the news woman on CNN.
Wow. But when this search warrant was executed, there were jars and jars and jars of severed feet that this doctor kept. He kept pictures of the women's genitalia. There was fetuses and body parts and bags all over this building, and even in the same refrigerator that the staff had their lunch in. What was most disturbing, of course, and what the jury found most problematic, was that this doctor would induce labor. So this wasn't the normal abortion that people think of for people in their first trimester. This was a doctor giving medicines that would induce the labor. The women would have the babies. The babies would squirm, would cry like any baby born. Then this doctor would perform a procedure he called snipping that has no medical basis, where he would take scissors and put them in the back of the skull.
I want to stop you. Let me stop you because I don't want to continue.
Okay, now the reason that she's stopping him was not ostensibly because she was outraged by what he was saying, but because they hadn't heard from the doctor. She had reached out to the doctor and they wanted to hear his side. He hadn't responded, and this is just, you know, what's being reported. And then the guy said, no, this is grand jury testimony. This is what the grand jury testified. So she let him go on and talk a little bit more. But I thought, okay, wait, I can't believe they kept these boxes or containers with feet of aborted babies or body parts. How terrible. What do you think happens in an abortion clinic, miss? What do you think they do? They're murdering babies in the womb, and the babies are getting sliced up and pulled apart. And you know, and when this gentleman that's speaking, and I appreciate what he's saying, and maybe he's a pro-life guy after all, I don't know, the gentleman that was giving the report. The fact of the matter is, when he talks about, you know, the most disturbing, the baby's born, then it's killed. So if you kill it in the womb, you know, it's babies born squirming. Well, how about the babies that are squirming trying to get away from the suction that's going to pull them out, rip them apart inside them? Well, we don't talk about that. Well, then do something about it. Then let there be a consistent moral outrage. I mean, the picture we get from this is normal abortions, good, fine, okay. But, you know, botched abortions or abortions in a dirty abortion clinic, or abortion mill is better put, or killing the baby right before it gets out of the womb when it's viable, fine. Killing the baby once it's out of the womb and it's viable, terrible. You know, sex tape, bad. Oh, very bad. This is someone performs on this thing, records it, okay, knowingly. Gets a very, very bad. For a married woman with a baby, very bad. Nude photo shoot, great, fine. So I'm having the same issue with this MTV Skins show. Now, I'm not an expert on what's on MTV. In fact, we haven't had a TV in our home, I don't know, for a couple of years. There's enough stuff you can watch online if you want to keep up with news and other things, and I'm sure there's enough trash if you want to watch online. So it's not like not having a TV makes you holy, okay? In fact, not having a TV in the best of times didn't make you holy, but it often helped you not to waste so much time and be subject to have a lot more stuff accessible to you, especially in years past. Nowadays, you can get almost anything online, so just for us, it's better not to have a TV for a number of reasons. However, that being said, I've read enough about what's on MTV and read enough about programming, especially in researching for my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, looking at what's happened in media. And I know the target audience of MTV and all the horrific videos that have been on for years and years, which are as sensual as can be. You got 8, 10-year-old kids who can do all the moves, every sensual move. You've got kids even younger than that. They're watching this. They're taking this in. You've got 12, 13-year-olds. They're drinking this in day and night for years. And now we get outraged because of the Skins show. Oh, yes, we should be outraged, but we should be outraged over the whole thing. What is with us? Normal MTV programming, okay. Skins, that's bad. Friends, we need an awakening. We need an awakening. Oh, here's much more to come. Stay with us. Does our moral outrage sometimes expose our moral stupor? Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire to subscribe to the podcast to get involved in the discussion there. Okay, before I get into some more provoking discussion and hopefully some things that'll get you to think, examine your life, go to the Lord, and be a light to others, let me remind all of you in the greater Charlotte area, if you're within like 10 million miles, or maybe say within a couple of hours, I want to extend a personal invitation to all of you listening by radio to join me for a special series of meetings Friday night, Saturday night, and 2 Sunday morning services. So perhaps after or before one of your own Sunday services, you could visit us. Friday night, 7 o'clock, Saturday night, 6 o'clock, Sunday morning, 9 and 11:30. I'll be preaching at Fire Church, a special series of meetings. We'll have a time of worship, and I'll bring the word. The whole purpose is awakening, encounter with God. Very important meetings. You can find out more by just going to my website, askdrbrown.org, clicking on itinerary. Okay, what I've been saying today is that sometimes the moral outrage of the society exposes the moral stupor of the society. It would almost be like during the Holocaust, and 6 million Jews slaughtered, and then other people groups, not on that level, singled out, slaughtered, gypsies, others, infirm, mentally disabled, different groups. So people slaughtered, and you say 6 million Jews, well, that's not so bad. Well, 1.5 million children, oh, well, that's bad. No, it's all bad. It's all horrific. So a viable baby killed in the womb, baby that could be delivered and live, okay? That's okay. That's fine. And you know, one of the newer techniques for doing this, and if you got real little ones there that can understand this, then brace them or turn the volume down for about 15 seconds. What do you do? You find the baby's heart in an ultrasound, give it a shot of poison. Baby then dies in the womb and is then delivered dead. I'm talking about a viable child slaughtered in the womb. That's okay. But if the baby's delivered and then slaughtered, that's terrible. How could they, especially if the clinic is filthy? Some gal has a sex tape circulating from before she was married. Oh, no, how terrible. Oh, but she's married with kids and is going to do new photo shoots. That's not a problem. MTV with all foul videos for years with all kinds of sexual moves and crotch grabbing and everything you can imagine and just all this stuff for kids of all ages to see for years, and now from just what I understand, all kinds of reality TV programming with folks, actors or real people, folks just living out their lives in front of the camera with all kinds of drug stuff and sex stuff and all that. That's okay, but when it's actual teens doing it, oh, that's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible, but what's more terrible is that we've just fallen asleep with it. What's more terrible is that we're so used to the other stuff that we don't realize how terrible it is. There's an article, FoxNews.com, Dr. Manny Alvarez, Last year, Jersey Shore took the reality TV world by storm. And frankly, I was disgusted. I've never seen Jersey Shore. For that matter, I've never seen shows, mainstream shows like Survivor or Lost or Amazing Race. I've heard about them. Never seen them. Maybe seen a minute of American Idol. Doesn't make me holy. I'm just telling you, I've never seen this stuff. So let alone never seen Jersey Shore. But I read about it. Last year, Jersey Shore took the reality TV world by storm, and frankly, I was disgusted. MTV took their old recipe for reality TV gold and did it again. Profanity, alcohol abuse, and the sexual escapades of a bunch of 20-somethings running amok at the beach with no sense of responsibility or consequence, and society ate it up. But at least these people were adults. Now we've sunken even lower. MTV's new drama series, Skins, premiered this week, and many are saying it borders on child pornography. In this series, we see actors younger than 18 years old in a scripted drama dealing with drugs, alcohol, sex, and it's all made to look very hip and cool, which makes me think perhaps a more appropriate name for the show might be Sins. Even worse, it's getting great ratings on TV, and all the kids are watching this stuff, etc. Okay, I understand what he's saying. The one thing's bad. This is even worse. But it's all so far gone. It is all so far over the top. Remember, there are younger teens watching Jersey Shore and emulating these models. Look, the reason I started doing drugs as a 14-year-old in 1969 was because the rock stars did drugs, and I wanted to be like the rock stars. I wanted to get high the way they did. They were role models to me. So maybe your 13-year-old or your 8-year-old, who knows, your 14-year-old has some of the Jersey Shore stars as role models. Okay, now it's actually teens. How big a difference is there? I remember one relative telling us that a relative on the other side of the family, a little girl like 5 years old, could do every move on some horrifically sensual Britney Spears video. Of course, she had no idea what they meant. She's 5 years old, but she'd learn them. You could act them out. Exactly. So all this stuff is out there. And let me ask you one other thing. What do you think teenagers are doing in schools? What do you think teenagers have been doing in schools for years? Oh, not all teens, but many. I'm going to read something to you that'll sober you, shock you in a moment. But what I'm saying is the fact that there's outrage over Skins reminds us of the moral stupor that we're in, because it takes something this far to even create outrage when there should have been shame, outrage, shutting things down. What about MTV shows with same-sex dating? What about where MTV reality shows where you got bisexual twins and they're going to decide? I mean, outrageous. Kids have been watching this. Where's the outrage? Where's the uproar? We have lost our moral bearings. Do you agree with me or do you disagree? Rick in Fort Mill, South Carolina, thank you for calling today.
Yeah, hi, how you doing, Dr. Michael? I totally agree with you, and I think it's even grown numb amongst even like people like Jay Sekulow, who was fighting for against the partial birth abortion in New York a few years back, when I felt he should have been exposing those attorneys who were pro partial birth abortion, that he should not have been arguing that they should be charged for inciting murder. We have all these hate crimes and things going on now, and you could be charged for terrorist acts just for, you know, some mere thoughts of or potential intentions of doing harm to society. Well, how much harm are you doing? You know, particularly with partial birth abortion, I mean, that should be just a no-brainer. And that, you know, how could that not possibly be inciting a murder when you're arguing for partial birth abortion? To me, that is, you're on the record as being for it. Well, that's got to be self-incriminating. I don't understand how we could all be so numb as to think, well, that's fine, they're attorneys for that group, and we're, you know, for those that are against it, when really those that are for partial birth abortion should be charged and arrested for having such, you know, incredibly murderous intention.
You know, Rick, I can't comment on the Jay Sekulow situation simply because I haven't followed it in detail and, I mean, don't know the ins and outs of it. But the larger point that you're making, Rick, is absolutely right in terms of the general numbness that we have, and that even I know sometimes you have to fight for things incrementally in terms of changing public opinion, changing law, but short of an awakening, short of a radical spiritual awakening, beginning of the church and spreading out to society, we've been too far gone, too numb, too dead to moral conviction for decades. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Thanks for the call, Rick. I appreciate it. All right, hopefully your blood is boiling, but in a holy way, a way that pushes you to prayer, a way that pushes you to call out to the Lord, a way that reminds you that Jesus really is the answer, that us, those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus, each of us really living according to the principles of Jesus, really knowing him, really walking with him, really making him known, that is the key, the only key, the only hope of our nation. Michael Brown, thank you for being with us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. On our website, AskDrBrown.org, if you click on the online bookstore, you'll find quite a number of books that are really awakening books. How Saved Are We? End of the American Gospel Enterprise. Whatever Happened to the Power of God? It's Time to Rock the Boat. Time for Holy Fire. Revolution. Revolution in the Church. These books will really stir you. I encourage you to get hold of them. I also encourage you to check out our free online resources, hundreds of hours of teaching and preaching that will also stir you and help light a fire in your heart. Okay, the outrage, the uproar over the MTV program Skins, which actually shows teenagers that they're actors, but they're actually involved in alcohol, drugs, sex, and it's being glorified, and, you know, this is too much, it's child pornography. Okay. There is an article that came out, when was this? Looks like May of last year. Aging sex icon Raquel Welch, contraceptive shattered marriage, the cornerstone of civilization. She speaks out. A pastor that worked with her said that she came to faith a number of years ago. And she's talking about what's happening in the schools, the whole sexual revolution in 1960, the pill coming into the public eye, and then the transformation that happened in the 60s with the sexual revolution and so on. She says this. I'm going to paraphrase a couple of lines just because of the vividness with which things are described. Welch describes the horror of her fellow members of the free sex generation who now parents themselves realize the consequences that the contraceptive culture had brought upon the next generation, including rampant blank sex among middle school aged children. Middle school aged children. All you parents with middle school kids, are you listening? Quote, the 13-year-old daughter of one such friend freely admitted to performing blank on several boys at school on a regular basis. She recounted, oh, come on, Mom, it's no big deal. Everyone is doing it. 13 years old. My point that I am with all of my might trying to make today is the outrage over what's happening on MTV Skins. Yes, there should be, and yes, that and many other programs should be shut down by censorship. They should be shut down because there's not enough interest in the society, or because the morals of the society raise the level of censorship. To just try to censor something when everybody's corrupt is not going to do the trick, okay? It's not going to do the trick at all. But that being said, the stuff has been going on. Look, I think back to when I got saved when I was 16 years old in 1971 and all the promiscuity and all the drug use that was going on in the schools among young teenagers. Young teenagers. It didn't suddenly just go away. It became the norm. Many of you that have gotten saved since will say, yeah, that's the way we live. We were, you know, sleeping around. We were, you know, getting high. We were getting drunk as young teenagers. As middle teenagers, as older teenagers, just kind of a way of life among us. That's what we did. So are parents alert to this? Raquel Welch said, seriously, folks, if an aging sex symbol like me starts waving the red flag of caution of how low moral standards have plummeted, you know it's got to be pretty bad. And she said, look, marriage is foundation of society. She was ashamed to say that she's been married four times. So she's confessing her own sins and shortcomings. But you say, well, it's not happening in my household. Hopefully it's not happening in your household, but it's happening in lots and lots and lots of others of households, this stuff is just the norm out there and has been for more than a generation. And did you hear the report about in view of a teacher in a second grade class, kids performed a sexual act on each other? Who? Second grade? What did they say? What could... you know, I'm trying to figure what to say and what not to say to get points across, and yet recognizing that many of you right now are picking your kids up from school and driving home. I hear from some of you, moms and dads, either calling in or writing in. Things are really bad and have been for quite some time. And yet, you know, we're outraged over this. Okay, here, let me try to find this data here. Where do I have it? Okay. This is in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which will be out in about 6 weeks. MTV's show called Next tells young people that all varieties of dating are perfectly fine, be they straight, bisexual, or gay, completely normalizing homosexuality in the process. MTV's A Double Shot of Love tells the story of bisexual bachelorette twins, lets young people know that every kind of sexual mix is not just acceptable, it's desirable, and it's hot. Here's John Cloud in his article on gay teens for Time magazine. Because he routinely sees young gays on MTV or even at school, a 14-year-old may now feel comfortable telling friends that he likes other boys, but that doesn't mean he's ready to unfold himself in a gay identity. So MTV is helping kids come out. Let's not forget that MTV's viewing audience is primarily 12 to 34-year-olds, with roughly 40% being under 18. According to a very sobering 2001 report, MTV is watched by 73% of boys and 78% of girls in the 12 to 19 years of age group. Boys watch for an average of 6.6 hours per week, and girls watch for an average of 6.2 hours per week. John Cloud, in his very pro-gay article in Time magazine, continues, "Gay kids can now watch fictional and real teens who are out on shows like Desperate Housewives. The dating show Next on MTV and Degrassi, a high school drama on the N Network whose wild popularity among adolescents is assured by the fact that few adults watch. Publishers like Author A. Levine Books of Harry Potter fame and the children's division of Simon & Schuster have released something like a dozen novels about gay adolescents in the past 2 years. Gay kids can now subscribe to the 10-month-old glossy YGA magazine. YGA stands for Young Gay America. And meet thousands of other little gays via Young Gay America or outproud.org, and on. I've got further specific stats here. MTV, this is 2001. MTV globally reaches 350 million households. 82% of MTV viewers are 12 to 34 years old, 39% under the age of 18. Music videos are designed for teenagers between 12 and 19 years of age, and on. Friends, let us look at what is happening. Let us look at the moral stupor of our society. Let us recognize that the very moral outrage that people are expressing is just a revelation of the moral compromise we're in. I'm going to share something from a Pat Boone article, good old Pat Boone, some of his observations on what's happening in media. 1 week after Martin Luther King Day, I've got a quote from Martin Luther King that was posted on our Line of Fire blog from his letter from a Birmingham jail, which is more relevant than ever. And remember, this weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Friday night at 7, Saturday night at 6, Sunday morning 9 and 11:30, I'll be preaching at Fire Church, a special series of meetings with the very purpose of awakening, personal and corporate, to really go after God, meet with Him, repent of our sins, and come into fresh contact with the living God. For info on that, go to askdrbrown.org and click on itinerary. See you in a moment. Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Tomorrow we're going to focus in on some doctrinal issues, also controversial, but some doctrinal issues, and discuss the governor of Alabama saying, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're not my brother, you're not my sister. We'll put that in context and talk about that on the program as well tomorrow, barring something earth-shattering. Do you think I'm crazy? If you've been listening to the show today, you think I'm just crazy and off my rocker in saying that the moral outrage that society has over certain things, you know, abortion, you kill a baby out of the womb, a viable baby, you know, our outrage over that exposes our lack of outrage over killing a baby in the womb and so on and so forth. You think I've gotten fanatical? Do you think I'm just irrelevant now? Do you think I'm taking the Bible too far? Or could it be that we're so asleep and so like the culture, we become so much like the world that we don't even realize it? So I said many years ago that our gospel teaching's gotten us so fat we can't even get out the church doors to touch the world. Let me give you a case in point. 866-34-TRUTH. You can agree, you can disagree. On Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay, let me throw this out for you, all right? Oh, was it around 1991, thereabouts, 1991, the movie Last Temptation of Christ came out, and there was an outrage over that based on a best-selling book about it. Oh, no, how could, you know, you show him as just being so human to the point of having sinful desires and wanting to marry Mary Magdalene, and then, you know, fights the temptation. It doesn't, you know, whatever. And so, you know, I had one friend, wasn't a believer, thought it was a very inspiring movie. But for Christians, no, it presented a blasphemous picture of Jesus and so on. There was an outrage. Okay. On the one hand, I understood it. I mean, you're not going to put out a movie about Muhammad like that, even in American culture. You're not going to put out a movie that would, say, be insensitive to Judaism like that in American culture, but you can bash Christianity. On the other hand, I wasn't surprised that Hollywood was doing worldly things and seeing religion and spirituality in worldly ways. That didn't surprise me. But what grieved me more was this. There were churches that were passing around petitions, boycotting movie theaters, saying, if you show The Last Temptation of Christ in your movie theater, we will boycott your theater. In fact, when fire was birthed in Pensacola, Florida, we shared a movie theater with a black Pentecostal church. They had taken the building over. They owned it, and we would have our services and classes at times when they weren't meeting there. They graciously opened their doors to us for a period of a few years. And that movie theater, from what I was told, actually went out of business because of boycotts over The Last Temptation of Christ. And that, again, I don't know the accuracy of it, but that's what I was told. Okay. What grieved me was this. How many movies were Christians going to that they had boycott power at the local theater? How many godly movies were there? How many acceptable movies were there? How many movies were there that weren't in some clear way defiling, destructive, dishonoring to the Lord, desensitizing? And remember, there's no requirement in the Bible, thou must attend movies. Thou shalt see movies. So it's not like we're required to, and we have to find the ones that aren't so offensive. Okay, and I understand the power of movies and cinemas and can be addicting and moving and all of this, but the question is it part of the pollution we're drinking in? So I was just wondering. To me, it kind of struck me like you were going to boycott happy hour at the bars because there are some racist bartenders.
We understand there are racist bartenders, and as Christians, that morally offends us, so we're going to boycott happy hour.
Or maybe a bit more extreme.
You know, we understand there are anti-Semitic prostitutes in this city, and we as Christians are going to boycott the prostitutes because of the anti-Semitic prostitutes. Like, what is wrong with that picture?
Okay, maybe it's a bit more extreme, but how much more extreme is it? I'm not an expert on the movies, but tell me how many movies that are out there today could we watch together as believers, say, put on the screen in a church building or after a home Bible study and watch together without censoring things, without bleeping things out, without, you know, having people turn away at certain points. How many could we actually watch? And yet Christians were so much in the world that they had the power to threaten the world with a boycott. It struck me as a picture of our moral hypocrisy. Now please understand me. My issue is not with the world. I want to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus. My issue is not to throw stones at people that don't know God and that are lost and are walking in darkness. I want to shine light. I want to bring them the gospel and offer them salvation and repentance through the blood of Jesus. My issue is with me and you. My issue is with the family of God. My issue with us is with us as leaders. My issue is with us not taking clear moral stands and doing what is right in God's sight and being hypocritical so that we become so much like the world. We have nothing to call the world to. Okay, I promise I'm going to read some Pat Boone to you. We'll do it on the other side of the break, and I'll share my bottom line. And then another reminder about the meetings in Charlotte this weekend. Hours, but hopefully this 1 hour will get you thinking and get you praying. Remember, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Friday night, 7 o'clock, Saturday night, 6 o'clock, Sunday morning, 9 and 11:30. This weekend I'll be preaching at Fire Church. We're right near Lowe's Motor or Charlotte Motor Speedway, a couple minutes outside of Charlotte. Meetings for Awakening, meetings to really go after God. If you listen on the broadcast and you're blessed and stirred, by all means, make an effort to come out. And then please introduce yourself to me at the meetings that you listen on the air. For more info, go to askdrbrown.org, click on itinerary. Pat Boone has an article on WorldNet Daily. Let's get the F, the letter F, out of media, obviously saying more with that. He said, have you not detected the water getting hotter and hotter in virtually every form of entertainment? Are you becoming numb to the profanity erupting in every primetime drama and even comedy show? Words that were always not only forbidden but censored and likely to get the offending speaker fined heavily are now heard so frequently that they seem commonplace. Late night and reality shows may bleep out most of the foul profanity, but the live audiences and even attentive kids know exactly what's being said. And there's usually a shocked but approving reaction, so it's not edited out. Oh, no. Violence? Excuse me. Sex in its most depraved forms? Demonic, satanic, ritualistic behavior? Depictions of sadistic gang violence, rapes, hangings, flesh splattering as bullets slam into human bodies? Car chases speeding into multiple wrecks and exploding in flames? Police and crazed criminals shooting it out with automatic weapons in public places while frantic passerby dive for cover, screaming in panic, hey, you can get your fill of all these things any night of the week, not just on cable, but on broadcast TV in prime time. The same goes for more and more video games. Now get this picture. All over the country, impressionable young kids are being assaulted continually on TV, even as what is in what is euphemistically called the family hour, with crass profanity. Ugly behavior, crazed violence, and depravity. Even in homes where parents try to enforce TV viewing rules, the kids can always find ways to see the forbidden programs at the houses of friends or even on somebody's iPhone the next day. Add to this the countless hours too many kids spend glued to a video game in which they're virtual participants in the very behavior, and worse, they've been seeing on sponsored TV. I've been dumbfounded in the last few days to hear liberal talk show hosts actually blame conservatives for some of the outbreaks of violence in Arizona and California and other places. Supposedly respected news anchors and talk hosts have inferred that Sarah Palin and Rush Limbaugh and other conservative radio voices may actually have created an environment that influences mentally unstable people like the young Arizonan who shot 20 people and nearly killed Representative Gabrielle Giffords. What bosh. The liberal media, the producers of hundreds of TV shows of violent video games, the sponsors who pay for all this decadence, the writers and studios who rush to make ever more decadent and prurient movies, these are the poisoners of our moral and emotional environment. These are the corruptors of the minds and stability of our young. All right, friends, here's my bottom line. The culture around us has been decadent for decades and getting increasingly decadent. The culture around us has lost its moral bearings for decades and continues to lose more and more of its moral bearings. Families come under more assault now than any other families in our history in terms of moral, cultural assault, losing spiritual truth every day in the process. The solution is not to get mad at the media. The solution is to look inward and to look at our own lives and to turn to the Lord and to ask him to wash us clean where we have been polluted, where we have been desensitized, where we have gotten so used to the filth that we don't even recognize it. You know, it's like the people living by Niagara Falls many years ago. The falls were stopped for a certain time for some engineering work that was being done. And people who were used to the sound for years had a hard time sleeping without it. They got so used to it, it became part of their lives. That's how it is with us, friends, with the filth of the society that is all around us and sadly in some of our homes. Let us turn to God and repent. Let us turn to God and ask him to show us where we've lost heart, where we've become compromised and desensitized, because the awakening for our culture must begin in the church.